Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to invite you to go to Matthew 28 to start with today. Last Sunday morning, we began talking about a revelation of authority, and we're going to continue that today. The fact that we have authority, Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, not that they would have authority, but that our eyes would be open to what they have. And so that's vital, that our eyes are opened up and we see what we have, because I would say, I wouldn't know what the percentage would, but the majority of the church does not know they have authority over the devil. They just think, you know, it's all up to the Lord, when the Lord's already done something and put it in our hands. So what I want to do today, and I have several of these, probably won't get through all of them today, but I just want to go and do some scripture reading today and some comments about scriptures that teach we have authority. How many know if something is true, it should be in the Bible, right? And so we're just going to look and see, what does the Bible say about this? I have heard people say we don't have authority, but the truth is the Bible teaches something different. Amen? So let's go here to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and we're just going to do some practical teaching today and just look at some of these scriptures. I have in my notes, there's more, but I have in my notes here, I have 11 of them, 11 scriptures. Now you do know the spiritual significance of the number 11, don't you? It comes after 10. And there's a lot of 10s in the Bible, all right? No, I don't know if there's any spiritual significance, because probably there's more than 11, but I have 11 major ones that I want to talk about. So verse 1 is Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and he spake unto them, his disciples, saying, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So that's here. And the King James says, go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things. How many things? All things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, I've heard it said that Jesus has authority, but we don't. But according to that scripture, if you read it right, Jesus delegated it to us. He said, I have it, now you go. Amen. Now, I've said this, and I'm going to say it again. Jesus didn't come down here on the earth to get authority for himself. He already had it. He became a man to redeem man. You understand that? See, that's what Paul said. Death came by man, so resurrection comes by man. So it had to. That's what the incarnation's about. So he could come down here and redeem mankind. As God, as the Word, he always had authority over the devil. But we're the ones that lost authority. You know, we talked about it last week. How did we lose it? We lost it when Adam sinned, didn't he? He gave it to the devil. Remember, God gave him dominion in Genesis chapter 1. Then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where now the devil's the god of this world. And then you go over to Luke, and the devil said that Jesus showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, said, bow down, worship me, all these will be yours, for it's been given to me. Well, we know God didn't give it to him. Adam gave it to him. But Jesus came to get it back. Hallelujah. Amen. And he is the head of the church. Yes. We are the body. How many know your head doesn't have something that your body doesn't have? You know, you don't say, hey, my head got a new dress today. My head got a new suit today. No, how about you did? Jesus as the head has authority, which means we as the body have authority.
Right.
Amen. It's just, whatever he has, we have. We're joint heirs with him. Amen. Now, understand this, and I've taught this over the years, the seat of authority is in Christ. God gave Adam authority. He sinned and lost it. He put it in a resurrected man, amen, untouchable by sin and death, and it can't ever be lost again. How many know Jesus never sinned, did he? How many know he's never going to? How many know if God would have taken that authority, got it back, and put the seed of it in me, we'd have lost it already. I've sinned since I got saved. Don't be shocked. You have too. Yeah. All right, so when Adam sinned, of course, he you know, and disobeyed God, then the devil became his Lord, really. And so God put it in somebody, in a man. Now, listen now. Jesus is all man. He's all God. But he's got the authority as a man. God already had authority. He came God as a man. He put it in a man, and he put it in a man that can't lose it. Now, if we get in that man, hallelujah, we have the same thing he has. And so that's why this is almost like when you look at this in Matthew 28, it's almost a repeat of Genesis 1 where God said, I give you dominion. Go into all the, you know, subdue the earth. Now, Jesus is talking to us spiritually now. He said, I have dominion. Go there and make disciples. Rescue people out of the power of the devil. Amen? You know, that's all people need, right? They just need rescued out of the power of the devil, right? Amen? Because they're under his power. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 10. You don't mind if we look at some scriptures today? I don't think we'll get through all 11. We're going to try, but because they're really good scriptures. How many know you can't overdose on the words, right? Luke chapter 10, and I want to look at something Jesus said to his disciples. Luke 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils or the demons are subject to us through thy name. Wonder if we still have that same name today. Yes. You think it worked today like it did then? Yes. Why, the demons were subject to them through what? His name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In other words, guys, you really shot him down. Behold, I give you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So here he's saying, look, you have power over serpents and scorpions. Now, that doesn't maybe, you know, I mean, you can take this spiritually. I think there's an application there. But these people needed this just naturally. I mean, they didn't have sidewalks like we have today. They didn't have paved streets like we do today. You go to some areas of the world, and there's critters out there. Amen. I was in a place in Africa where we were staying, and when I woke up in the dawn, there's critters out there on the lawn. There's a sign said, only walk lighted paths of the nighttime. And there's a good reason, because they're out there. And so where these people traveled, where they walked, you know, it wasn't paved roads. It wasn't like what we have today. So serpents were a real problem. Poisonous serpents and scorpions. And Jesus said, I'm giving you power to tread over them. They won't harm you. You've got authority. Hallelujah. Well, you say, that doesn't mean much to me. Well, you know, for us, it might be something different. We don't have that issue. I mean, I occasionally find a snake in the yard and all. But, you know, we don't have the things like they have, the scorpions and poisonous serpents. But even, remember Paul got bit by that serpent? Remember that? On the island of Malta, he just shook it off. It was a viper. Shook it off and felt no harm. I mean, that's the scripture right here. I give you power. Amen. Over all the power. Now, notice this. This is where it really connects with us. Over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We have a power and authority. Now, like what he said, he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. See, the reason why the spirits are subject to you is because your name is written in heaven. That's the exciting part. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. This is the another version of Jesus giving out the Great Commission to his disciples in Mark 16. And verse 15, y'all staying up with me? Yeah. All right. Go you into all the world, verse 15, Mark 16, 15. Go you into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believes is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. So that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Not everybody's going to heaven, are they? Just believers, right? These signs shall follow who? Those that believe, right? The believers. In my name. Notice the first one. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Amen. Is that authority over the devil?
Yeah.
All right, there's three verses that teach we have authority over the devil. I mean, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word's established, right? He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I do that. They shall take up serpents. And literally that word take up. Now, he isn't talking about holding serpent handling. You know, there's churches that still... Oh, yeah, yeah. I have an evangelist friend was preaching in a church one time, and they did that. He was like, no, thank you. You know, they do that to prove their faith. How many of that wasn't what Jesus was talking about? You know, remember the scripture in Mark 11:23, I'm sure you do, where he says, where Jesus said, speak to the mountain, be thou removed. This is the same word, be thou removed. In other words, he's simply telling them, when you're out there, serpents aren't going to hurt you. Nothing's going to hurt you. Hallelujah. I give you authority. And if they drink any deadly thing, well, how many know we probably shouldn't be drinking it on purpose, right?
Right.
We probably shouldn't be taking up serpents on purpose.
Right.
I don't know about you, but if I went to one of those churches and they're taking up serpents to prove their faith, I'm just going to say, I'm in unbelief tonight. See ya. No, that's just tempting the Lord. How many know it's not unbelief, it's tempting the Lord. And that's not what Jesus meant. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That sounds like authority to me, doesn't it, to you? All right, let's look at some more. Is this okay? All right, let's go. We talked about this one, but not everybody was here Wednesday night. Go to, maybe it was last Sunday we talked about it. Let's go to James chapter 4, and I want to look at this scripture in James 4. Because this is a really revealing scripture too. James chapter 4. Go there. Verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not Jesus, you. Right? So if the devil is running from you, he must know you have authority. Remember I said sometimes, you know, some of us have... ran from the cops. And I was shocked to find out who in this church has ran from the cops. Your pastor included. Why do you run from the police? Because they have authority. Amen? Because you did something wrong, probably, right? So why does the devil run from you? Because you have authority. You have authority. And he knows you have authority. He knows you have authority whether you do or not. Now, he'll try to keep you deceived of that. That's why Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that their eyes be enlightened, that they would know they have authority, that we don't have to just let the devil just run over us in life. Amen? We have some authority to say, no, you can't do that to me. You need to know that because if you don't, he will. How many know the devil is a lawbreaker? He's defeated, but he's not dead. He's defeated, but he's not locked up yet. And during World War II, we had what we call occupying armies, which they stayed in the countries that we defeated to make sure they stayed defeated, that there was no enemy opposition to rise up. They were defeated. The devil's defeated, but he's not gone yet. So he'll still run over you if you don't take your authority. Look at... let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I know we're looking at some scripture, but it's really important that we see this as firmly based in the Bible. I mean, firmly based in the Bible. This is not just something that some modern preacher 40 years ago thought up. This is firmly in the Bible. And the scriptures are there. If you just look for them and read them, you can see you have something to do with it. Amen.
Amen.
It's not just all up to God. It's up to us too, what we allow and what we don't allow. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. That word place means ground, or you could say even an opportunity. Well, if you can stop giving him place, you must have authority over him. You couldn't stop that if you didn't have authority. Amen. So you have authority that's given to you by God to say to the devil, you know, I'm not giving you any place in my life. You're not going to have it. When you do that, he has to do exactly what James, the scripture we read, he has to do exactly what the Bible said. He has to flee. He has to flee. So how many would say that's a scripture? How many would say that's a scripture that teaches us we have authority over the devil? I hope this isn't boring to you today, but this is what I have today. But because we have to firmly base this on scriptures. One thing for me to tell you, you have authority over them. It's another thing for you to go look at these scriptures and say, well, man, the Bible does say that, doesn't it? Because that's where your faith is at, right? All right, now look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We may spend just a little bit more time here, but there's some others I want to look at before we're done. So 1 Peter chapter 5, but there's some things here that I want to talk about, and it'll help maybe make some sense to you about some things in your life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, or your opponent, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So what is the devil up to? He's up to devouring people, right? But he is seeking whom he may, which means he can't just devour everybody. So why is that? Why is it he can devour some and he can't devour others? Well, the next verse tells us whom resist steadfast in the faith. Some people don't resist him. Resist the devil and he will what? He will what? What if you don't resist him? He's not fleeing. He'll stay right there. So you have to resist him. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Well, how many know you couldn't resist him if you didn't have authority over him? Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished, this is maybe older wording here in the King James Bible, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, the devil's trying to devour all your brothers. All of them. They're all having the same fight. All of them are. It isn't just you. There you go. No need for a pity party. Because nobody comes anyway. Right? Amen. You know, one woman said to one pastor, she said, I was talking about people didn't pay enough attention. Basically, she was saying people didn't pay enough attention to her problems, her issues. And I like what he said, they got their own. I mean, we should be compassionate. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just making a point that, you know what? Not everybody's calling you every day to see how you're doing. You got to let your request be made known. Amen. He says, but notice this. Now, this is the verse we often skip because people don't know how to explain it, especially faith people. But the God, verse 10, of all grace, who hath called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, or you could say in some translations do, after you've suffered a little while. I like the word little. I'm glad, and that's what that means, a while. It means a little while. Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, faith people don't like to talk about suffering because we don't believe in suffering. But the Bible says we're going to be suffering. One thing it says we're going to suffer is persecution. If you're not suffering any persecution, maybe not enough people know you're a believer. Right? You're not living bold enough, right? But there are some things, but what he's talking about in this context, now he's not talking about his sufferings, you know, like people talk about, I'm suffering this sickness for the glory of God. How many, that's not in the Bible. I'm suffering this tragedy for the glory of God. How many, that's not in the Bible. But did you know, he talks about resisting the devil and your brothers are suffering the same afflictions because he's seeking somebody to devour. All right, that's the suffering that sometimes we do suffer, because I don't know about you, I don't find it fun resisting the devil for extended periods of time. Fighting the fight of faith. My flesh doesn't like it. My mind doesn't like it. Amen. But thank God I'm strong in spirit. Right? So you understand what he's saying when he talks about after you've suffered a while. He's not talking about letting the devil just run over you. God letting the devil run over you. And after you've had enough, God finally throws the towel and says, that's enough, devil. They've had enough. I'm stepping in. Or it's like a tag team. You're out there wrestling and Andre the Giant's got you down. You know what I'm saying? And then finally God tags somebody and gets in the ring and throws Andre off of you. It isn't about that. It's about the fact that sometimes we have a warfare with the devil over things in our lives, and we have to just stick with it and stick with it. And there's suffering involved in that. It's not fun. It's not easy. But if we just stay, and the Lord says, just for a little while, you do this right, you'll take care of him in a little while. It won't take you long to handle this peanut. You'll handle him. And then God will establish and strengthen and settle you. Amen? How many understand what I'm saying here? We got to deal with these verses. We can't just ignore these verses like people ignored for years. It's like, well, that's not there. No, that's there. I said that verse is there. We have to deal with it. We have to explain it. We have to talk to people. What does it mean? It's not talking about just like some people teach. It's like God letting the devil run over you for a while and then finally pull you out. It's about the fact that you're in a fight. That's what he said. He's seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. All your brothers are having to do the same thing. Keep doing it. You may suffer a little while in this fight and this attack. It's not fun. How many know the guys out on the battlefield, they're not having fun. They're suffering. Same thing's true spiritually. But because we're victorious, in just a little while, I said just a little while, God is going to establish, strengthen us, and settle us. Because we have resisted the devil. Remember, I talked about this. Now, I taught this in Honduras years ago about man's authority, God's ability. When man takes the authority that God gave him, God's ability shows up. That's what we're talking about here. Did you get something out of that? I mean, we have to understand. Because sometimes people, and here's what happens, and I know the temptation. Sometimes people maybe are in a fight for a little while and they think, well, I just must not have enough faith. I must just not be doing something right. No, you're just in a battle. And there's battles that are quick. I like those kind. There's battles that are a little bit longer. I don't like those kind. But we can still win in all of them. Amen. I've stood for healing for things just for a little bit. I've stood for healing for things for longer than I wanted to. I don't know about you, but when it comes to pain, 30 seconds is too long. I'm not a wimp. I just like feeling good. Come on, come here with me. You don't have to say anything, raise your hand or anything, but how many just admit you've had to stand for some healing sometimes for longer than a day? Right? And then you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. What's the alternative? Well, the alternative is don't fight and hope somehow you make it. I don't want that. Yeah. Or the alternative is just to depend on what the medical community can do for you. I don't want that. I mean, they can do, and not knocking them, they can do things for you, but how many know the devil's got things they can't fix? Amen. You know, divine healing is when that's something that can fix it no matter what. That's what I'm shooting for. If I have to go to the doctor, I when I first started out in faith, I wouldn't go to the doctor. I wouldn't take an aspirin, a Tylenol, whatever they had in my day. Well, still my day, by the way. But, you know, way back then in those beginning days, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't go to the doctor. I just wouldn't do it. Wouldn't do it. I considered it a lack of faith. But I grew up and learned that, you know, hey, your body has to have some help. You understand what I'm saying? Till you receive, till your body, till divine healing catches up with your body, you better take some care of it if it's needed. Because you might be dead before your faith, before it all gets there. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I do, but I hope I can transfer that to you, that sometimes we're believing for things, and it doesn't happen immediately. And it's like Brother Hagin used to tell people, the healing skill. He said, if I lay hands on you, You got something seriously wrong with you, and I lay hands on you, and you don't get healing immediately, you get to the best doctor you can find. That's just good common sense. Why? Because you've got to keep you in the fight. And if you don't keep your body going, it's not going to stay. You're not going to stay in the fight. You're going to go to heaven. That's pretty good. But God doesn't want you going for your time. Amen. How many know your kids need a mom and a daddy? How many know your grandkids need a grandma and grandpa? How many know your great-grandkids? Oh, don't look at me like that. It's coming, sweetie. It's already here. How many know they're going to need you around? Amen? Right? We don't need older people leaving before their time because they've lived life long enough to learn some things. Amen. You know, sometimes when you're young, you think your parents are stupid. It's like Mark Twain said when he was 14. I don't remember the exact quote, but Mark Twain said when he was 14, he called him his old man. He was the dumbest person on the planet. He said, by the time I got 21, it was amazing how much that old man had learned in 7 years. I mean, it's called growing up, right? You do things now that your parents did that you thought was stupid. You think things now you thought your parents weren't cool, but now you do them. Amen. I remember those days when my parents started making sense. Like, Mom, growing up, then Grandma started making sense. I'm like, why does Grandma wear, you know, stripes with plaids? And I found out, because they're comfortable. Grandma was just wearing what she had that was comfortable. There's a guy, he used to have a program on Channel 9. He was it was called The Red Green Show. And he said something one time, I haven't seen it for years, and I'm not recommending all of his theology. I'm just simply saying, he said something I thought was pretty funny. He said, you know you've reached middle age when comfort means more to you than style. How many have reached that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I was looking at one of my grandsons this weekend. I was thinking, man, he is just to the T, got everything just perfect and all. Even, you know, his body and everything and his clothes. I'm thinking, man, he's got it going on. Looks like he could be on the picture of a magazine. And I thought, but your day's coming when you're going to realize that. He said, Phyllis asked him, now, do you wear medium shirts or large shirts? Well, he said, I wear both. He said, I want to wear mediums when I want to show off my muscles. You'll get to my age one day when you don't want to show off anything. Some things are better left concealed. Come on, have you ever seen some woman wearing some short shorts or short dress? You think, sister, if you knew how that looked, you'd cover that up. You're too old for that. You shouldn't do it anyway. But I've seen, you know, I know I shouldn't do this, but hey. I've seen these guys riding bikes, you know, for exercise. I used to see one guy wearing, you know, and they wear these bike attire. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Right. And he's got on that, you know what I'm talking about, Matt? He's got on that tight bike attire, and his belly's sticking way out here. I'm thinking, brother, don't do that. Leave it to the skinny guys. Amen. Just wear a big T-shirt. Amen. All right. Moving right along. All right, let's look at some more scripture. Look at 1 John. We're close to go there. 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. How many understand that verse we just read? Yeah, there's going to be suffering, but it's not suffering at the mercy of the devil. It's not suffering sickness. It's not suffering those things. It's suffering. We do suffer persecution, but it's not fun. It's not comfortable when we're in a prolonged fight with the devil over something in our life. It's not coming. But now let me just say this to you. You can still remain strong, but it's just not comfortable. You just wish it'd get over with and we could move on. Amen. Look at this in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, or he doesn't practice sin. But he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. That must mean we have authority. Right? We can't be like the one guy used to say, the devil made me do it. How many know we have authority over the devil? He doesn't make us do anything. We have to resist him. Amen? How many know we have to resist temptation? And how many know that's not always fun when your flesh is screaming at you to do something? You don't believe your flesh screams? Just make this determination. Say this with me, Heavenly Father. The rest of this day, I'm going to fast. Whoa, I didn't hear people say that. What happened? Because your flesh started screaming at you when it heard the word fast. So I ain't saying that. All right. How we understand? Your flesh will talk to you, won't it? Right? If your flesh gets hungry, it talks, doesn't it? If you eat something that's really good, how many of your flesh will talk to you? Let's have some more of that. Right?
Come on now.
Your flesh will get you in trouble. How many have ever said, you've overeaten, and you say, I'll never do that again? Somebody, I've restarted my diet 35,000 times. What is it? It's the flesh, right? When it feels pressure, it just wants to yield. See, that they're suffering in that. They're suffering. The Bible talks about us suffering in this flesh by resisting temptation. Well, we're resisting temptation. No, we're resisting the devil. You know, when you're tempted to do something. Because the flesh wants instant gratification, but what it doesn't tell you is the price that you have to pay is really high, and it's death. Amen. So here we have another verse. How many could say this verse tells us we have authority over the devil? Yeah, it does. Look at Acts chapter. Man, we may get through all 11 of these, and then we're going to receive communion, but I hope you're getting something out of this. Acts chapter 26, go there. Just scriptures that teach us we have authority. It's not something we're going to have when we get to heaven. We have it now, right here, in this nasty here now. Amen. Jesus is, his name's above every name in heaven and earth, right? We've been seated above all power in heaven and earth. Amen. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. This is the Lord. What he said to the Apostle Paul, he said, but rise, stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things in which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power, that word power is the word exousia, or authority of Satan unto God. So, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance. So how many know we have more than just forgiveness of sins? We have an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that's in me. So he told Paul, I'm sending you to turn the Gentiles from the authority of Satan unto God. Well, if we've been turned from his authority, he doesn't have authority over us. We're with God now, amen? So that's another scripture that shows us that we've been turned from Satan's authority. Look at Colossians. Can you stay with me just a few more minutes here? Look with me at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Because some of this is kind of a repeat. But I just think it's good for us to see these scriptures and know they're in the Bible. And then we have a sure foundation that what we're saying isn't just based on some obscure scriptures, but it's firmly in the Bible. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. How many of you know if you have an inheritance, how many know the good thing to do would be find out what it is? Right. Who hath delivered us from the authority or the power, the King James says power, or the authority of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So there we go. Again, we say we've been delivered from Satan's authority. out of his authority and translated into a kingdom. The kingdom of his dear son. I'm a U.S. citizen. There's a lot of things, benefits, blessings go with it, but nothing like being a citizen of the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're in a different kingdom now. So that verse right there, if I didn't have any other verse, I'd know I have authority over the devil because I've been delivered from his authority. If I've been delivered from his authority, then he didn't have authority over me. I got authority over him. Amen. Now, once again, I want to make it clear to you, that doesn't mean that he just leaves us alone. It does mean when he attacks us, we got authority to deal with him and stop that. Whatever area that attack might be in, we have authority to stop that. Amen. And resisting, how many know, isn't always easy. It's effort. Look at two more things. Romans chapter 5. At Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, that being Adam, death reigned. So there's how we lost our authority. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, at one time, death reigned, but if we're in Christ Jesus, we reign in life. We reign in life. Now the word reign there, it's interesting. It's a Greek word that means reign. It also means king. How many know kings rule? Kings have authority. We're to reign in life as kings. How do kings have authority? We're going to talk about this maybe next Sunday. We'll see. Well, but one way kings rule is by their words. They give decrees. They declare things. Amen. And so, you and I as kings, we're to declare things. We're to reign in life. Not have death reign over us, but we reign in life because we're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. One final scripture, Luke chapter 13. We'll close right here. Luke 13. Wow. This is a scripture. Number 11. I hope you saw something. It's all in the Bible, isn't it? And that's just a few scriptures that years ago I picked out to look at to show that we had authority. Just a few of them. There's more, but that's just 11's quite a few. That's enough to establish it, isn't it? Look at Luke 13, verse 10, talking about the Lord Jesus. It says, he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift her up. So this woman has a demon, a spirit of infirmity. That's her problem. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, now listen to what he said. Woman, you are loose from your infirmity. Now here's what I want to say to you. Jesus was just declaring to her what already was a fact. I'm going to show that to you. He's telling her, "You for 18 years you've been loose from your infirmity. It's a legal thing." And he says, he laid his hands, verse 13, on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Wow, wow, wow. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Well, I would just say to you, my friend, she's been coming to your synagogue for 18 years and hasn't been healed.
Right.
All right? And the Lord answered him and said, this is a good way not to be invited back to a church. Thou hypocrite. Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? What's Jesus saying? You treat animals better than you. Yeah. than this. And ought not this woman. Now notice the word ought not. It should be this way, right?
Right.
Being a daughter of Abraham. What's that got to do with anything?
Covenant.
I am Jehovah Rapha, your healer. Right?
Yeah.
Whom, now notice this. There's no question about who brings sickness. Jesus let us know whom Satan hath bound. Lo, these 18 years, that word lo means think about it. For, she's been bound for 18 years. Be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. So Jesus was a little indignant that she'd been bound for 18 years.
Right.
Wasn't he? He said, think of it. 18 years. She'd been, Satan's had her bound for 18 years. Think of it, he said. Shouldn't she be loosed on the Sabbath day? She's a daughter of Abraham. What's that mean? Even being a daughter of Abraham gave her some authority because of God's covenant. Nothing like what we have in this New Testament, but just being a daughter of Abraham, she ought to be loosed. There's so much rich revelation in this right here that would straighten out so much theology in the church. Jesus said this. Even because, you know, people have stuff for 18 years and they'll begin to think, because the church will teach them, God wants you to have that. God wants you to keep that. He's getting glory out of that. He's using you to help people have the same thing. That woman could have thought this. But when she got there, Jesus announced to her, woman, you're loose from that infirmity. You understand what I'm saying? He's just simply telling her what belonged to her already. And he laid his hands on her, and she was made straight, glorified God. And he said, this woman ought to be loose from this bond. Amen. Satan, who bound her?
Satan
bound her. You know, when you've had something for a long time, it can wear on you. You can begin to think that maybe God wants me to have this, or maybe God doesn't want me to be healed. But that's not the truth. The truth is, it's still Satan. And you have authority. Amen. So even under the old covenant, just being Abraham gave you some daughter of Abraham gave you authority to be free. Hallelujah. How many, that's 11 scriptures right there that teach we have authority. So when somebody gets on a radio and says, we don't have authority, what do you think about it now? I don't think they don't know what they're talking about. I think they haven't read their Bible close enough. You know, you can read your Bible with rose-colored glasses where you only see what you've been taught. I let's show this testimony, and I'm going to have the guys come. We're going to receive communion. But I remember when I first got saved, a young guy about my age came to the revival center and got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. I remember that. And he said something I've never forgotten. He said, I was raised in a church that taught that passed away. How many know there's a lot of churches in town teaching it passed away, right? He said, I was raised in one of those churches. He said, I read the book of Acts for myself one day and decided it hadn't been passed away and got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
See, he read it. Did you hear what he said? I read it for myself. I didn't read it from my denomination. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
See, I sometimes try to do that because I'm not saying what I know about Scripture is wrong. But sometimes I'll read Scriptures, I know what it means, but I think, wait a minute, why not just turn off my head and everything I previously know about this Scripture and see if I can see something else in here too? Because you might see some other things you hadn't seen yet.
Amen.
There's always more in there, isn't there? And so he said, I read the book of Acts. He said, I read the book of Acts for myself. And he said, I came to the conclusion that it was for today. Why? Because it was all through the book of Acts. When they were, you know, they say, well, because his denomination taught him, when you got saved, you got baptized with the Holy Spirit. You got filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we do get the Holy Spirit when we get saved. He comes to live inside of us. But there's more. I said, there's more. So as he was reading, he saw in there every time in the book of Acts where the disciples were baptized with the Holy Spirit, the reason they knew they were baptized in the Holy Spirit is because they spoke with tongues. He thought, they all did it. I should do it. Hallelujah. I thought that was really good. I thought, thank God for somebody. Right? Thank. Do you know you got to love the truth more than you love anything? One guy got healed one time. Listen to this now. One guy got healed. I forget what it was this minister was talking about. He got healed of. I can't remember what it was, but he got healed of something in the service. And this minister was doing an extended service at this church. And he said, by the end of the week, the guy come back and he said, you know, I can't be healed. He said, I'll stand to lose $1 million if I'm healed. Well, this minister said, wouldn't you rather have the money? I mean, wouldn't you rather have the healing than the money? He said, "Ma, no, I need that money." And that sickness came back on him. Then I'm going to tell you another story. Phyllis probably remembers this one. Years ago, I was preaching. I'm thinking I was preaching at a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting. And there was a guy in the service that worked for the railroad. He had an accident, messed his back up. They gave him $200,000+ settlement plus a disability pension. So he's in the service. He's got back problems. I lay hands on him and God healed him. Let me tell you what he did. He went back to the place and told them, I don't need my pension any longer. I'm healed. I'm going back to work. You don't see that very often. I said, you don't see that very often. But that guy went back and worked, and he may be retired now, but 20 years later, he was still working. And he's still healed in his back. Had he have not done, you know what I'm saying? If he'd have revered that money more than he did his healing, he'd kept his back problem 20 years later. Instead of working, he still had a back problem. I mean, he testified about it. He told me, I went back and I told them that I didn't need my disability check any longer. I'm healed. Well, that's just honesty, isn't it? I don't know how many people I've encountered over the years that I've dealt with that two couples, a man and a woman, are living together. They're not married. And they say, well, if we get married, we'd lose our income. I'm thinking, what's more important to you, money or obeying God? And I've told them, I said, if you'll just obey God, he'll make it up to you. He'll take care of you. But most won't do that, because they trust in the arm of the flesh more than they do the Lord. It's not good. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand up. Did you get something out of that today? I mean, that's just really good to know we have authority over the devil. You say, well, I already knew that, Pastor. Well, you continue to feed yourself on those scriptures, and it'll be a reality in your life. It'll work for you. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.